There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into this week's episode of NFL Friday. I'm Owen Kelty, joined by Bradley Burns and Daniel Melia. And it's a little special episode we got going this week. It's the Christmas week episode, and we've had football all week. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, now Saturday and Sunday. Before we get into talking about what's been so far a pretty bad week of football, how's your guys' Christmas break been so far?
For me, it's been pretty good. You got to see family. Watched a little bit of football, but then turned it off after a little while to watch basketball. But as you said, the Christmas games were incredibly boring. And I think football is honestly on Christmas has kind of become second fiddle to basketball.
I'd agree with that take. Decent Christmas break for me as well. Time with family for sure. Sibling is here from Vermont. They usually are not. So that's really nice. What has not been nice, as Bradley alluded to, is the football. None of these games were banner winner, you know, super exciting games. We'll say, though, Netflix did a good job for its first time out there. I like their graphics. I love the broadcast teams they had. I felt like it was a good debut for them. Not so much for the other NFL teams. I'd agree. Basketball seems to be the dominant sport on Christmas Day.
Yeah, the NFL games, on paper, though, they did look good. You had the Chiefs versus Steelers and Ravens versus Texans, which you thought would be good games. But I agree with what you said. The Netflix, I kind of was thinking it wasn't going to be like a good broadcast. And because after the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight, which went terribly, freezing every 2 seconds, they put together a good broadcast for this one. So I didn't watch much of that. I was sticking with the NBA because those games were good game after good game. And then the NFL was kind of putting up stinkers. But the first game was Chiefs-Steelers. Chiefs win this one 29-10. And now I think that's three straight losses for the Steelers. And not really competitive games from them. They lose 27-13 to the Eagles and 34-17 to the Ravens. And now 29-10 to the Chiefs. Chiefs clinched the first seed in the AFC. But what have you guys seen from the Steelers? I'll start with you, Daniel. A lot of talk on that team about guys kind of not seeing like – calling out someone about not being bought in but not saying who it is. How do you feel about the Steelers team now with three straight losses? Not good losses.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, a couple weeks ago, or I guess a month ago now, when I was last on NFL Friday, I was like, is this a Super Bowl contending team? I mean, here they are at 10-3, right? Running away with the AFC North. They looked like they had beaten some quality competition, obviously had the win against the Commanders that was really tight. They beat the Bengals in a shootout earlier. In retrospect, not super impressed by their victories. I feel like they've come into this tougher stretch of the schedule and really fallen apart. You know, they couldn't hang with the Eagles. They couldn't hang with the Ravens in Baltimore. And it was not even as close to me as the scoreboard says it was against the Chiefs. 29-10 feels like a generous result for them. When I look at the box score, one of the things that sticks out to me is that Russell Wilson averaged 5.5 yards per completion. And I feel like they just don't, their longest completion too, they had the 41-yard bomb to George Pickens, but outside of that, nobody with more than 21 yards on a catch. And I feel like their downfield passing threat is just non-existent. It's there's no Mr. Unlimited here. It is check down
to George Pickens like twice a game.
Exactly. So I just feel like they don't stretch the field. And nobody has to be worried about them stretching the field. And that really limits what they can do offensively. And I think, obviously, the Chiefs have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Steve Spagnuolo just tremendous every week, coming up with a different scheme. But you don't have to work too hard to shut down the Steelers offense. We certainly saw that on Christmas Day.
But no, 100%. I feel like every single year we talk about Mike Tomlin and his job security, even though he's finished with an over 500 record every single season. I'm pretty sure they haven't made it past the second round in I don't know how many years. So although I feel like we say this every year, this is Mike Tomlin's year. Like if they don't make it past the second round, I don't even know if he'll be the coach next year. Because Steelers are one of those teams where you set high expectations for them, and then come week 16, they just fall apart, and then come playoff time, they'll get blown out by like the Bills or the Chiefs. So I feel like Russell Wilson's first year. But it's also, I feel like Mike Tomlin is on the hot seat as a coach. Like, this is the year. Like, they may finish 500, but if they get like blown out in the first round, you really got to question is should he be the coach next year? I feel like he's on the hot seat.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that they would ever fire Mike Tomlin. Like, if you look at like what the Steelers do, I mean, I think when they fired who was their OC last year?
Oh, Matt Canada. Matt
Yeah, that was like
Canada.
the first time they'd ever fired a coach in season, I think, like almost in, or maybe it was like the second time in Steelers history. Like, they just don't get rid of coaches, and when he consistently makes the playoffs, like, I get what you're saying though. It feels like every year the Steelers are like 10-3 or 9-4. And then at the end of the season, they're like two games above 500 or a game above 500. Like, they've now been known with Mike Tomlin as these teams that have these late season like collapses. And I know it's in like a hard schedule for them, but it just seems like they constantly always have these end of season collapses. I don't know, Daniel, I don't know if you've picked that up over the years or what you think about that. Do you think he's on the hot seat?
I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat because they're the Steelers organization, as you alluded to, is known for their consistency. But also, it's just such a tough position. Do you fire a guy who has had that much success? I mean,
Yeah.
his streak of seasons above 500 is ridiculous at this point. I don't even remember how many years it is, but I know it's in the double digits.
Think it's
But I will
16
say this.
now or something like that.
Yeah, it might be 17 after this year. I will say this, though. Bradley has a point that it's really tough to look at this team year after year and say, this is what we wanted out of it. You know, it does feel like they're treading water. They're very aggressively, slightly above average. And when we look at their potential playoff matchup this year, probably going to be the Texans, who I know we'll talk about in a minute. They could win that game. I think they're probably better than the Texans, but that may be more of an indictment of Houston than it is a voice of support for Pittsburgh. And I don't see them cutting mustard against any of the top contenders in the AFC. We already saw them lose to the Chiefs, saw them lose to the Ravens. And if they played the Bills, I mean, come
In Buffalo, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to Buffalo, they're not. That's why I only see them like having hope against the Texans. The AFC is stacked, and we'll talk about the other AFC matchup, Ravens and Texans, and that game was over from the start, 31-2.
Score
That's two,
origami.
it's 2 points. I mean, that's it's a shutout basically. And the Texans look terrible. I mean, they lost Tank Dell last week. They have had no Stephon Diggs, but 2 points, not scoring on offense is just bad from what not what you expect from CJ Stroud and the Texans, but Lamar Jackson makes another obviously incredible game, pushing for that MVP. We'll talk about that in the end. Josh Allen, Lamar, Saquon Barkley, the MVP battle. But this game, I mean, it was incredible to watch Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, but otherwise, another stinker. I mean, what do you guys think about the Texans? 2 points. The offense just looks. CJ Stroud does not look good this year. Maybe a sophomore slump. Maybe it's losing two of your three weapons. And I know that whole Tank Dell thing had a big effect on him. So, what do you guys think overall about the Texans?
So for me, I was actually like very surprised. I was expecting this honestly to be a shootout, to be honest. I just feel like CJ Stroud would have had that bounce back game. You know, it's been a little bit of a slump, as you said, but 17-31, zero passing touchdowns and interception. I feel like the moment that all the injuries started piling up for the Texans, that's when they slowly started to decline because they looked good the first like game or two when everyone was healthy. And then it's kind of like the same thing with like the Steelers, like as the injuries, or no, not this year, it's the Lions, excuse me. As the injuries started piling up, they had that little bit of like a downward slope, but then they just shot right back up. But I feel like the Texans just kind of got the unlucky hand of the stick where they're just not finding the rhythm. And me personally, I think if this team was fully healthy, they'd be a Super Bowl contender. I feel like we shouldn't be judging the Texans based off of this season because CJ Stroud is missing his best weapons. So I think this is just a sophomore year slump for CJ Stroud. I think the Texans will be a top two seed next year. I'm not really worried about this season at all regarding for CJ Stroud.
For me, I am concerned about CJ Stroud's development, but on a scale of 1 to 10, we're at like a 3.5 here because, believe me, as a Patriots fan, I've seen some serious sophomore year regressions. This is nothing compared to what happened to Mac Jones. But I will say this: Baltimore's defense deserves a lot of credit for this game. They have improved significantly. Previously, we were talking about that as one of the sore spots for this team, and they went out and shut out the Texans in their house. That's really impressive. So I don't think it's just that Houston was struggling. That's part of the reason I think that they shouldn't worry too much about this game. What I mentioned about the downfield passing threat for the Steelers also applies to the Texans now, and that goes to Bradley's point about them missing personnel. No Diggs and no Tank Dell. Now your longest completion of the game is 30 yards. Nobody else has above 20 outside of that one they had to Nico Collins. And CJ Stroud averaging just flat on 6 average yards per completion. I mean, it's just not where that offense was at the beginning of the year. The one thing to note, though, about would they have been Super Bowl contenders? I'm not sure about that because, yeah, they beat the Bills, but when you look at the other games they've had against tough opponents this year, got astroturfed by the Vikings, lost a tough one at home to the Lions, lost to the Chiefs, obviously. We saw that one last week. And then this time they get destroyed by the Ravens. So, and they lost to the Packers as well in Lambeau, if we want to include them in that conversation. So that's against six of the best teams in the NFL, 1 and 5. Granted, some of those games were close, but the last two kind of weren't. And I do think that there's still room for growth on both sides of the football, even when everybody's healthy for the Texans.
Yeah, I think what you brought up of them versus 500 teams, I believe last year too, when they made the playoffs, they had a weaker schedule because they were one of the worst teams in the NFL the year before, and it's pretty similar this year as they're beating up on bad teams, but it's hard to be as concerned for them, I think, as the Steelers, because it's still a really young team. It's not like when you look at Ross, who's 35, like the Steelers' windows now, where the Texans have so long of a window with CJ Stroud being so young. And I don't know how concerned I'd be about his development yet, because it's only his second year. We've seen some sophomore year slumps. A lot of his guys are having like torn ACLs, which is like you're losing them for the whole season. You just got to replace them with players that you know aren't of the same caliber, especially that Tank Dell loss. I mean, he's their downfield threat. He's like the threat in all three levels of passing, and losing him, I mean, Nico Collins is a great receiver, but he's like a go up and get it guy. He's not as much of a downfield threat. But that game was a blowout. Ravens still have a chance, I think, to win the division. I think they still have a chance to win the AFC North. But then let's move on to Thursday's game. We'll be super brief with this one. Absolute stinker. 6-3. Seahawks won this one. I don't think there's much to say. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about Caleb Williams and the Bears or Seahawks. I believe both teams are out now. The Bears are out. I think the Seahawks are also out. Or maybe the Seahawks have like a slim chance, I think. 9-10.
Seahawks
Oh,
need
they
to
could still
win
win the
out.
West.
Yes, I think Seahawks need to win out and the Rams need to lose out
Yeah.
and they make it.
Yeah, that's or they could still play at the, I think, the 7 seed. So the Seahawks are still in, but 6 points. They beat the Bears 6-3. Overall, what do you guys think about this game? Or we got nothing here.
I feel like, to be honest, it's just the offensive line. Almost every single possession, as soon as Caleb gets the ball, you just see three guys go right at Caleb. Like, that last throw at the end, if you guys saw the last play with the interception, the offensive line just collapsed. Like,
Yeah, their O-line's bad.
they really should have drafted an O lineman over Rome Odunze. As much as I hate to admit it, because I like Rome, he just really hasn't been too impressive this year. Like, I feel like if the Bears draft an offensive lineman, their offense would be a whole lot better because you still have DJ Moore and you still have Keenan Allen, who are two really good weapons, and you have DeAndre Swift, so. I feel like Caleb has a little bit too many weapons, because and then they didn't fix the offensive line problems. Because every time Caleb gets the ball, there's always two or three guys rushing him immediately, and then he has to make these bad throws, which, as we saw, led to the interception, game over. So the Bears are just looking forward to the draft at this point.
Yeah, get some O-line help. Daniel, got anything?
Yeah, I saw a statistic the other day that said the Bears are the first team since the 0-16 Lions to lose all of their games from week 8 through week 17. That is just
The most Bears
abysmal.
stats ever.
Yeah, and when you look at the way they've been losing these games, I mean, my goodness. I think for them, yes, they're looking forward to the draft. They're also looking forward to naming a head coach. Saw Pete Carroll's name floated in that discussion, which would be really interesting. Also, Al Michaels on the broadcast mentioned Bill O'Brien, which, as a Patriots fan, just want to push back on that a little bit. Not sure that would be the best idea,
No.
but regardless, it's clear that the culture needs to change there because right now, as y'all were alluding to, it's Caleb Williams running for his life on every play, and the rest of the team is, well, they're not bought in because why would they be? So, as for the Seahawks, on the other side of that, they really need some help. I checked. They do not have the tiebreaker against Washington, so it's win the NFC
Win
West
the
or
Western.
bust.
Got it.
And they need help to get there. So, I mean, it's a nice win for them. They're gonna obviously nice to have a winning record. With that said, still kind of some questions about the franchise. Do you really think that Geno Smith is the guy going forward? And if so, can he prove that? If not, which I think is the answer, what do we do about that? That's all long vision, though. As for this game, it was awful. It wasn't the first Thursday night football game that has been awful. We've had a good few good ones this season, but I'm still kind of
Thursday night
skeptical.
football is usually awful.
Right. And I
Yeah.
don't think that's a coincidence because you're forcing guys to play 3 days after they were out there most of the time. So I hope the NFL takes a look at that in the future, although I'm not really very hopeful because it's a big money earner for them. So why would they change it?
Yeah, you bring up a good point too, because all the teams who played on Wednesday also played on Saturday, which is basically the same. It's the same turnover as Sunday to Thursday, and you get a stinker. I mean, I've always thought, like, wondered if NFL would try to move to Friday and have, like, Friday, and then you get the extra day of rest and have a Friday night football. But you're right. The moneymaker of a Thursday night game, the players hate it. The players have been trying to get rid of that for years, but it constantly produces bad games. But I think when you look at that game overall and, like, the Bears' outlook, it's the same, or you have the same concerns about Caleb Williams that you had when you came out of the draft, was he can make some unreal plays. He's unreal talent. But can he, like, win you games? And their O-line has not given him the opportunity to show or develop, really, as a quarterback. We look at Jaden Daniels and even Drake May, like, they have a competent enough team around them where they can show development. I know the Patriots O-line is there. We'll talk about them because they're playing today. Patriots O-line is
Yeah.
terrible. Wide receivers are
But
terrible.
it's not
They
quite as
develop.
awful as the
No.
Bears and the Giants, and I think that that has really made a difference. They, especially with the Patriots, we've seen a little bit of consistency in blocking recently. The other thing too to mention with them that the Bears do not have is a competent rushing attack because I
Yeah.
mean Ramondre Stevenson hasn't been great. Antonio Gibson has been pretty good. And but they've both been collectively good enough that the Patriots can plausibly threaten to run the football sometimes. Bears can't do that at all. So you're
No,
just seeing
all out Caleb
zero
Williams
blitz
air raid.
every play. Yeah.
He's throwing the ball 50 times a game, which you don't want from your rookie quarterback. You want to have him have some, and they signed DeAndre Swift, who is not really a big time, like, he's a receiving running back. He's not really a big time rushing running back. But let's talk about the Patriots. This opening day, our opening game of today, 1 o'clock, Chargers Patriots. Big game for the Chargers as they need to keep winning to stay in that wild card race. And the big game for the Patriots just because they have 3 wins and you want to see Drake May keep developing. Also, currently hold the second overall pick in the draft. So, Daniel, I'll start with you. I know the Patriots are your team. What are you feeling about today's game? Just overall, how the Chargers have looked or how this overall outlook for the Patriots?
We'll start with the Patriots, obviously, because as you say, they are my team. There's been progress for sure. I was really impressed that we played Buffalo as closely as we did, especially through the first quarter. We looked great. Couldn't hold it together, but I think there's been growth on both sides of the football. And with the coaching staff, I was really honestly very happy to see us go for like fake punt from our own 26. That was a gutsy move that paid off. Even though we didn't get points on that drive, we did get the first down. And that was the type of thing that we haven't done much of this season. I'm a little concerned because our starting center, Ben Brown, is out for this game. Not really sure. I think Cole Strange will be starting in his spot. And Cole Strange is a guard. by natural position, so I'm a little concerned about that. But really what it matters to me is Drake May's growth. How is he going to play in this game? Chargers have a solid defense. Will he be able to show up against the defense the way Bo Nix actually did when he was against the Chargers? I think that as long as we see some consistency in the offensive line and the running game, then he should be able to do what he does and produce some highlight plays. With that said, very much going to pick the Chargers. They need this game. They know they need this game. I think they need to win out really to make sure they're going to get in to the playoffs. Going to be interesting to see if J.K. Dobbins plays in this one because I saw they activated him off of IR and he's really. No disrespect to Gus Edwards whatsoever, but J.K. Dobbins really adds a dynamic element to that offense. Also, a guy to watch, Ladd McConkey, because the Patriots put their second quarterback, Marcus Jones, on IR. So it's really Christian Gonzalez and Alex Austin. And I think that leaves McConkey matched up with Austin, which will be very interesting because I think Ladd McConkey could really make some plays there. He's a big frame and he's a quick guy. Alex Austin, good interior defender, but a bit smaller. So gonna be interesting to see. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ladd McConkey up there around 100 yards if he plays as well as we know he can.
You talk about Ladd McConkey, he's actually exceeded my expectations. He's only 40 yards away from a 1,000-yard season. He's actually been really good for the Chargers. I thought that, losing Keenan Allen in the offseason would actually hurt the Chargers, but I feel like it's kind of helped them because they ended up drafting McConkey, and he's been solid for the Chargers. I didn't think the Chargers were going to be this good, losing Keenan Allen, losing Austin Ekeler, but I just feel like they've gotten a little bit better. I mean, obviously, maybe not too much better, but having young guys around Justin Herbert, I feel like has helped him a little more. But yeah, I've been very surprised with Ladd McConkey, as you mentioned, Daniel.
Yeah, when you bring up like the Chargers, they kind of went the same route as the Bills this offseason with kind of just letting your quarterback be the guy. The Bills end up getting rid of Stephon Diggs, the Chargers get rid of Keenan Allen, and then they bring in Ladd McConkey. I know there was a lot of controversy, obviously, around the fifth overall pick, the Chargers drafting Joe Alt instead of Malik Nabers or Romo Odunze, which Joe Alt's been one of the best tackle or is going to be one of the best tackles in the league right now. He's been very good. But this Chargers team is 9-6. They're pretty in a similar boat, though, as we bring up the Texans and even the Broncos. Like, they've only really beat up on bad teams, but the Patriots are one of those bad teams. So I'm gonna have to take the Chargers with this one. But I mean, the Patriots are running the most ethical tank of all time. I feel like that's like the most obvious thing here. I mean, they lose every game either by a field goal, missed field goal. Every game is close. And Drake May's developing every week. I mean, I think it's the best case you can ask for the Patriots because, hey, you're losing, but you're also seeing development from Drake May. And they'll most likely finish with the second overall pick, which they can go anywhere with that. You can trade it
Don't
out.
jinx
Yeah, I won't do that,
us.
but you can end up trading now. You could take Travis Hunter, you could take a tackle. So, Patriots are really, I know you're 3-12, but I could say they're in a good spot. And same for the Chargers, also 9-6, going to probably make the playoffs. And then, let's move to the next game. Even big for both teams, Broncos and Bengals. Bengals need to win out to make the playoffs, and they need the Broncos to lose out. And then a little help from the Dolphins and a little help from the Colts. But if the Bengals lose, they're eliminated. And if you look at what the season Joe Burrow's had and Ja'Marr Chase, them missing the playoffs would be, I mean, a wasted year for them. I mean, you could say Joe Burrow, if the Bengals really, I mean, if they made the playoffs, Joe Burrow would have an argument for the MVP. But this is a big game. Broncos can clinch a playoff berth with a win. Bengals need to win to stay alive. So I'll go to you, Bradley, first. How do you feel about this game?
I'm at first, if you told me before the season started that the Bengals would be one game away from missing the playoffs, I'd probably look at you funny because you have arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. In my opinion, I think Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in the NFL and arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. And you have a defensive player of the year candidate on the other side of the ball. So the fact that the Bengals are one loss away from being out of it, just it still doesn't sit right with me. Like Joe Burrow is leading the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns and passing yards a game, and same with Chase leading the league in receiving yards and touchdowns. So I really hope the Bengals make the playoffs because if they don't, I would just feel like it's been a whole wasted year. Like you have two players in the MVP running and another one in Defensive Player of the Year running, and you may not even be 500. Like, I think the Broncos are going to make a statement and win this game. As much as I hate to say, I don't think the Bengals will win out. They're probably going to lose tonight, and then they'll probably lose to the Steelers because I don't think the Bengals can really beat the Steelers. I feel like the Bengals' one kryptonite is the AFC North, other than the Browns, obviously. But it just stinks that like the Bengals like did all of this, and now they're one loss away from the playoffs. I've been very surprised with the Bengals. They're probably, I'd say, the most disappointing team in terms of talent because the Texans had injuries. You can't really control that. But having three of or two of the top five best players in the NFL and missing the playoffs just still doesn't sit right with me.
I think you're right that the Bengals will miss the playoffs, but I actually do have them winning today. I think that their offense is too much better than the Broncos' defense. I think that Jamar Chase will go and have a big game. He seems to always show up when they need it. And Joe Burrow, as you say, has just been out of his mind this season. I think you're right, Owen. If they make the playoffs, there's a legitimate argument for him getting the MVP, which would be really funny, kind of akin to I think
Been there.
Russell Westbrook's 2017 MVP campaign in the NBA, where the Thunder were the sixth seed, but he was averaging a triple double, so he won MVP. Lot of good candidates this year, though. I know we'll get to that. But for this game, the other matchup that matters to me a lot is the Broncos' offense against the Bengals' defense, because that's weakness against weakness. I think that Cincinnati has shown enough defensive growth recently, and the offense has been good enough, and they're on their home turf here. I think it'll be close, but I think that they're going to take it, which will set up a big matchup with the Steelers next week. And as for the Broncos, still probably going to get into the playoffs if they win one more. Really, they're home free, similar to the Chargers. But boy, it's kind of coming down to the wire. After earlier in the season, I felt like they had pretty much locked it up. It's kind of been up and down for them.
Yeah, the Broncos also play the Chiefs next week, who will not be playing
Oh.
any of their starters, though,
Oh, right. Yeah,
because
yeah.
they clinched up the one seed. So that, I mean, that doesn't go well for Cincinnati because the Denver should be able to beat the Chiefs backups, but I mean the Bengals defense is the reason they're in this situation. For the first, I mean, until really the last couple weeks, their defense has been horrible. Like they're losing, they're averaging, I think, 28 points a game, and they're losing half a lot of these games. Like, their offense has been firing on all cylinders, and their defense couldn't stop a peewee football team. Like, their defense. Like, and Denver, I mean, Bo Nix has had a good rookie year. I think he's gotten more about from him than anything you could have expected. But I'm gonna go with the Bengals in this one. The Bengals defense is just, I think, or the Bengals offense is just gonna be too much for the Broncos to handle. Especially the Broncos offense can be questionable at times, and I think the Bengals defense will be good enough to stop them. And then for tonight's game, big game for the Rams. Cardinals eliminated. We got Rams and Cardinals. I believe if the Rams win, they clinch the West. And then the Cardinals are out already, so the game doesn't really matter for them. Now they're just kind of playing for thinking about the future. But I think this one for me, I'm going to go with the Rams. They're playing for something the Cardinals aren't. I know it's an interdivision matchup, but Rams have all their weapons back. I mean, they, for the first coin of the season, they really didn't have Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua, and now they got him back. They're playing a lot better. The offense has been a little questionable the last couple of weeks, but we'll be quick on this one. How do you guys feeling about this one?
Gotta be the Rams, no doubt.
Yeah, me too. I think it's a blowout, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think the I think the Rams are gonna run away with this one. All right, so before we wrap this up and give our picks for the rest of the week, we'll do some quick MVP talk. I'll start with you, Daniel. Who's your MVP, and why are you giving it to him?
I'm gonna have to say Lamar Jackson. I mean, when you look at his stats compared to the last few times he's won MVP, he's been better this year. And I would have said Josh Allen before I watched him struggle against the Patriots defense last week. I know the Patriots defense. If you're struggling against them, you don't deserve to win MVP. I'm sorry. So, gotta be Lamar Jackson. The numbers don't lie. He's been tremendous.
So for me, I think Saquon honestly should be the MVP, but I obviously it's a quarterback award, so I think it'll go to Lamar. But in my opinion, I think Saquon. And there might be a little bit of bias in there because obviously ex-Giant, but As you said, Daniel, it's a quarterback award, so it'll probably go to Lamar, but I think Saquon should get votes.
My opinion on this, I think if Saquon breaks the rushing record, I think he would win MVP. Otherwise, I don't know, like, if he's really the most valuable player to the Eagles. My pick is still, I still think it's Josh Allen. I just think with the receivers he's had and the talent that's on that Bills offense and how he's transformed that team, I think it still goes to him. I know Lamar has better stats, but I'm a person that looks at it as like the literal term most valuable. Like, I think Lamar's been the best quarterback, but I think Josh Allen's been more valuable to that team. So I think I would go to Josh Allen on that one. So we got three different picks on this one. Little diversity there. We got Lamar, Saquon, and Josh Allen. But before we wrap it up, let's give our picks for the week. We'll go through all the games, decide who we're gonna win, who we think is going to win. So we'll start with probably the obvious one, Colts and Giants. I'm going with Colts. Giants need to lose out, so let's go Colts.
I
Bradley,
mean,
what do
Colts.
you
Yeah, I'll go with the Colts too.
Daniel, you said
Oh, yeah,
Colts?
Colts.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's an easy one. All right. Next we got Cowboys, Eagles. No Jalen Hurts this week. Sneaky, I think the Cowboys take this one.
I think it's going to be Eagles. All Kenny Pickett has to do is just give Saquon the ball 30 times and really just let him do his thing.
Much as the Cowboys hate the Eagles and the Eagles will be sans Jalen Hurts, I think that they're just a little bit too good for the Cowboys to handle at CenturyLink. I'm going to take the or Lincoln Financial, excuse me. Going back in time there.
Yeah,
I'll
throwback.
take the Eagles.
Next game we got is Bills and Jets. Jets have finally looked like the Jets the last couple. They've looked better the last couple weeks, but Bills still need to win. I don't think they, I mean, they have the division. They're not really playing for much anymore besides like the two seed. So I'm going to go with the Bills here. Josh Allen's going to want to prove that he's the MVP. And Jets really, that team's so dysfunctional.
Bills need this because the Ravens hold the tiebreaker. They need one more to get the
Oh,
two
okay.
seed, so I will take the Bills.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to take the Bills as well.
Next, we got Titans, Jags, absolute
Oh my
stinker of 3-12
God.
teams. Either way, though, if the Patriots lose today, this does help them because one team will be at 4 wins. I don't know. I'll go with Jags, Mac Jones. I don't
This
even
might
know.
just be a tie, to be honest. This might be
Zero
the first tie
zero.
of the season. It might
Yeah,
be
the
like a
annual
th
tie.
or It'll be like a 5-2 game or like a 5-3 game or something. But
Yeah, like a weird Scorigami. First ever.
yes, this is the stoppable force against the movable object. I think I will go with the movable object and take the Jags.
Yeah, I'll just go with the Jags too. It doesn't
Next, we
even
got
matter.
another bad game. Not a lot of great games in these last couple of weeks, but Saints and Raiders. I'll go with Raiders. The Saints, I don't even know who their quarterback is anymore. Desmond Ridder doesn't even start. I don't even know. Raiders win would help the Giants, so pick the Raiders.
I got the
Yeah.
Saints, home team. I
Fair
have
enough.
no other
I'm
reason.
going to
It's
go with
really a
the
bad game.
Raiders. I'm going to say Raiders, and I think Brock Bowers has his season high in yards.
That's
Fair
one
enough.
future positive for the Raiders is Brock Bowers, great rookie tight end. Next, we got the Panthers and Bucks. Bucks in this one. Panthers have looked better, but Bucks.
Bucks, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bucks too.
And then we got Dolphins and Browns. Dolphins still fighting for something at 7-8. Can still get in, and the Browns stink. So I'm gonna take the Dolphins with this one.
All due respect to DTR, but I'll take the Dolphins as well.
Is it him
Yeah, me.
starting over Jameis still?
He is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with the Dolphins too.
Probably the game of the week now we got is Packers and Vikings. Big game for that NFC North. I'm on the Love Boat right now. It's Toyota-thon. I'm taking the Packers over the Vikings.
Ooh. I got the Vikings. It's in Minnesota. I think that the Fjallerhorn will be loud, and I think that Fjallerhorn, excuse me. I think that Sam Darnold will show up somehow because that's like this season's weirdest storyline. Three touchdowns from him. Vikings winning.
I'm actually going to go with my pick to win out the NFC and make it to the Super Bowl. Give me the Vikings.
Whoa!
I got Vikings in the Super
Bold.
Bowl. It's Vikings Bills Super Bowl. I'm calling it
Wow.
right now.
And then we end off with Falcons and Commanders. Another big game for the playoffs. Falcons control their destiny now. Commanders still fighting for the division. I'm going with the Commanders with this one. Michael Penix didn't look that good versus the Giants last week, and Jaden Daniels has just been rookie of the year.
Yeah, I got the Commanders in this one as well. I think that Michael Penix needs more time to grow. This is trial by fire. Also, Lions Niners is the Monday game. And
Oh,
I
Lions
got
in
the
that
Lions
one.
there because the Niners are too banged up.
And season's over.
I'll go with the Commanders for the Sunday Night Football, then I'll choose Lions for Monday night.
Yeah, Lions are going to win that one big. The 49ers, disappointing year for them. A lot of injuries, though. But that is going to do it for us with this week's episode of NFL Friday. You can check it wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Music. For Daniel Melia, Bradley Burns, I'm Owen Kelty. And NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.